Ever been to a concert?
Concert? Oh, I sure been to all of them. Dave Brubeck, the Count, the Duke.
Johnny, I'm talking about Beethoven, Brahms, Mozart, Bach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but those guys are dead, Daddy, but dead.
I've got these tickets for tonight. An acquaintance of mine plays in the State Philharmonic. Sam's coming along, and by the merest chance, I happen to have a third ticket.
Well, I hope you can get rid of... Oh, no, not this baby. Thanks for the opportunity, which I'm sure is golden, but I'm strictly for lowbrow.
Oh, come on, Johnny. Live a little. Feed your soul. See how the other half lives. It'll do you good, I promise.
You make it sound very temptingly, but I'm awfully sorry. The answer is still definitely no.
The Sons of Darkness. Lee Masters, FBI, who wages relentless war against crime. Lee Masters, the blind detective who challenges the Sounds of Darkness. Sounds of Darkness. Tonight,
say it with music.
Isn't this just wonderful, Lee? Gee, it's such a long time since I've been to a really good concert. What a great auditorium, don't you think so, Johnny?
Great, just great.
Sounds like a full house.
Oh, it is, Lee. Really packed. And the seats are perfect, right in the middle. Say, which one's your friend?
Acquaintance, Sam. Not actually a friend.
Oh.
He should be in the second row of horns. Short, dark, stocky guy. Gold-rimmed spectacles. Black hair, gray at the temples.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see him, I think. Yeah. Red face?
Yeah, that's Tom Stacy.
So that's the guy I gotta thank for my cultural uplift tonight.
Hold it, kids. I think I hear the conductor's footsteps approaching the rostrum.
Gee, you can hear the footsteps from all that distance?
In precisely 3 seconds, the audience will see him. See what I mean?
Oh, he's working, isn't he, Lee? With a name like Maryovich?
That's right. Pupil of Saborn. You know, the great maestro who died here in New York a week ago?
Well, take your partners, ladies and gentlemen, for the first dance.
Shh, Johnny, they're about to start.
Big deal.
Hey, Lee, you didn't tell me there was a second half.
I can hear the orchestra coming back to their places.
Oh, they're all back there now, I guess. Hey, all that is except... Hey, wait a minute, Lee. I can't see your friend anywhere. It looks like his place has been taken by someone else, another horn player, tall, fair guy.
Oh? You sure, Sam?
Positive. No? No, he's definitely not there.
Well, that's very odd.
Maybe he took sick, huh?
Maybe. Look, Johnny, before they start the second half, do me a favor. Go backstage and see what you can dig up. Remember his name, Tom Stacy, horn player. Got it?
Okay, Lee. Even though I hate to be deprived of this musical treat, I'll go see.
And hurry back.
And when you do get back quietly.
What did you find out, Johnny?
Precisely nothing. Nobody's seen him. Stage doorkeeper, manager, a whole lot of other guys.
Well, that's not like Tom at all. He wouldn't go off like that even if he was taken sick or something.
I've checked everywhere, Lee, but no dice, so what shall I do now?
I don't know, but we're going to find out. It came from somewhere over by the north exit. Definitely outside the auditorium.
Yeah, you're right, Lee. No sign of damage in here.
Sam, Johnny, take me in that direction. Let's get round there.
Okay, I'll lead the way. Sam, you bring up the rear. Excuse me.
Hurry.
Sorry, we got to get through. Excuse me. Here we are, Lee. Through this door. Okay. Keep calm, everyone. Who's in charge here? Are you the manager?
Yes, who are you?
FBI. Lee Masters. What's the damage? Did you see what happened?
No, I just got here. I was in my office like everyone else. I just heard the bang. Some kind of bomb, I guess, went off over there.
Where's he pointing, Johnny?
Just 10 yards to your right, Lee. Doesn't appear to be much harm done. Big black mark on the wall, smallish pile of debris, plaster, you know. Nothing that couldn't be fixed up inside a couple of hours.
Well, that's the funny part. What is this, some kind of crazy stunt? I mean, who would want to blow up a quiet corner of the opera house?
Anybody hurt?
Apparently not. There wasn't a soul nearby. They were all in the auditorium.
Johnny, put Sam in a cab, will you?
Oh, I don't want to go, Lee.
Look, Sam, we might be here quite some time. There's nothing you can do right now. Better go home. Johnny, call a cab.
But Lee...
Come on, Sam. Boss's orders.
Okay. Good night, Lee.
Good night, Sam. Oh, and next time we'll all go to the movies.
I'll be right back, Lee.
Now, Mr. Preston, who are the people around here at the moment?
People? Why, there's a few musicians, some of the audience, backstage assistants.
And Tom Stacy, the lead horn player.
Who?
Tom Stacy.
Well, I don't know the names of the guys in the orchestra. We have several different orchestras here in a week. I'm just the house manager. You better speak to Art Mason. He's the orchestra manager.
Okay.
Sam's safe on the way home, Lee.
Good boy. Now, Johnny, before I start talking to these people, I want you to take me in the exact opposite direction from where we're standing, through the auditorium and out the other side.
What do you want to go there for? There's nothing over that side, just a museum.
Museum?
Yeah, but that's where we keep the musical curios, relics of the past. You know, old manuscripts, costumes, instruments, artworks.
Well, that's where I want to go. Mr. Preston, have everybody wait outside your office in 10 minutes. Shall we go, Johnny?
I guess this is the place, Lee.
Well, what are you waiting for? Describe the room.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a large room, rather like a ballroom, with a lot of old glass cases, papers, funny-looking violins, I guess they are. Pictures hanging on the walls, a few stage costumes, all kinds of things. Masks, statues.
How long is the room?
Oh, all of 50 feet, I'd say.
Then let's walk down it and tell me if you see anything unusual.
Okay, Lee. But would you mind telling me what we're doing here anyway? The bomb went off the other side.
Yeah, but why? Why? That's what I'm trying to figure. You see, Johnny, I heard something else, a breaking or smashing sound. It was hard to tell, I admit.
And you think it came from in here?
We'll see. Now, let's take a quiet stroll through this room and keep your eyes peeled.
Right. Yeah, like I said, there's these paintings on the walls both sides. Then there's a row of statues again down both sides. Then in between these figures, there's another line of maybe 20 to 25 pedestals with just head and shoulders. Sort of sculpture, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They stretch all down the right side.
Go through them, Johnny, one at a time.
Okay. The first one is a bust of Beethoven, Ludwig van. Then comes Brahms, Schubert, Tchaikovsky, Mozart. Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Here's what made the sound you heard.
What is it?
The next character is Rachmaninoff, but the one after that was Bach. This bust is bust in pieces.
Understand just how it could have happened. Surely a bomb going off on one side of a large theater couldn't smash down something all that way anyway. Other things would have been broken, too. What's the connection, Mr. Masters?
I'll let you know when I know. Tell me, Mr. Preston, how long have those busts been in your museum?
Why, only 10 days or so.
Oh?
Yes. They were the most recent addition. They were a set of famous composers donated to the Opera House by Ivan Saborin, the eminent musicologist who died only last week.
Yeah, I know. Came over here from Moscow on a cultural visit, and 2 days before he was due to return to Russia, he died in the street of a heart attack.
Oh, that's him. When he presented those busts, it was his last public appearance.
Shall I ask the orchestra manager, Mr. Mason, to come in now?
No, Johnny. Mr. Preston can ask him as he goes out. Would you mind?
Not at all. I'll call him.
Yeah. Anything beginning to make sense, Lee?
Hard to say, Johnny, at this stage. Figure it out from what we know. In the middle of a symphony concert, two horn players change places. Then, just after beginning of the second half, an explosion is heard in a particularly quiet, unused part of the building. One horn player has disappeared. In a museum on the opposite side to where the explosion took place, a plaster bust of the composer Bach is found shattered on the floor. Only that bust. None of the others.
Which means?
Which means that the bomb, which was fixed with a time mechanism, couldn't possibly have caused that sculpture to smash.
So where does that leave us?
Alongside all those facts, consider the incident of the late, great Mr. Saborin, the Russian musician who died only a few days ago of a heart attack on 52nd Street, and who, strangely enough, donated those plaster casts to the museum.
I see. I think I see. That is, I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
All I can say at the moment, Johnny, is that this had more potential explosive power than any time bomb.
You want to see me, Mr. Masters?
That depends on who you are.
Oh, sorry. Name's Mason, Art Mason. I'm the orchestra manager.
In that case, come in and take a seat.
Thank you.
What can I do for you?
Mr. Mason, you're personally acquainted with each member of the orchestra?
Oh, I wouldn't say personally acquainted, but I know them, yeah.
You know Tom Stacy?
Huh? Lead horn player, sure I know him.
So do I. Probably better than you. That's why I can't figure out his disappearance.
Yeah, that's right. He appeared on stage in the first half of tonight's concert, but in the second half he didn't show up.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I wouldn't have called it a disappearance, exactly.
Well, what did Tom Stacy arrange with you?
Oh, well, he asked me about 2 hours before the concert tonight if he could miss out the second half. He said he'd arranged for a substitute player, and although I didn't know the new guy from Adam, I took Tom's recommendation. I don't normally have this kind of request, you understand. And
what excuse did Tom Stacy give you as to why he wouldn't be available for the second half?
Oh, he said something like, not to pry too deep.
All very improper procedure, don't you think, Mr. Mason?
Huh? Well, like I said, I don't normally...
I know what you said, but it's still highly irregular. Especially as you didn't even know the substitute player.
Oh, well, that is true. Yeah, you see, but you know...
How much were you paid by Tom Stacy to allow this exchange to happen?
What do you mean?
No, Mr. Mason, it's not good enough. No professional manager would do such a thing unless there was something in it for him.
Well, that's not true.
How much, Mr. Mason?
I just took the money. $1,000, but... I don't know any more than that. I saw no harm in it.
$1,000?
Yeah.
Well, that must have been mighty important business Stacy had to attend to.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought, but I didn't ask no questions. I mean, you don't turn down $1,000 every day, now, do you?
Some people manage to, Mason.
Well, I...
Okay, get out.
Yeah, sure, Mr. Masters. You'll go easy on me, won't you?
Out.
Yeah, what a creep.
Still, we now know that Stacy is in the middle of a pretty big scene.
It sure looks like it. But what was he playing at? To give $1,000 to some guy just for an hour off seems screwy.
Screwy, all right. But then again, logical if... Wait a minute.
You got something?
Could be. See, Johnny, this time bomb, what do you suppose a bomb is for anyway?
Well, to blow up something.
And what did this particular bomb blow up?
Well, nothing in particular.
Exactly. But bombs also make a big bang when they go off. And big bangs attract people. And people cause confusion, and confusion diverts attention. Yeah, that's it.
Well, I get it. So this bomb was just a decoy, distracting attention away from the real business at hand?
Right.
So what was the real business?
Something connected with that broken bust of Bach in the museum. Okay, now let's think. Why should he want to break that particular figure?
Well, maybe he didn't like Bach's music. I can understand that.
Quiet, Johnny. These figures are solid. I've examined each and every particle of the smashed one. nothing was hidden inside, there would have been a cavity in that case.
Well, perhaps whoever broke it didn't know for sure that it was that particular cast that was hiding whatever it was. In other words, maybe he made a mistake. Picked the wrong one.
That's good thinking. Get that substitute horn player, you know, the one that changed places with Tom Stacy. Mason's got them all waiting outside.
Okay, Lee, I'll go and get him.
And Johnny, while I talk to him, I want you to get onto the technical boys at headquarters and have them come over with an inspectoscope. We'll need that little box of tricks. Then I want you to go over to the hospital where Saborin was taken after his heart attack. When you get there, I want you to ask some pretty pertinent questions.
Will do.
Dead men can't talk, they say. We'll see. We'll see.
It appears that when Saborin collapsed on 52nd Street, it was right in the middle of a sightseeing tour organized for the Russian cultural delegation by the Arts Council of New York.
Well, that much I know.
Yeah, but what you didn't know is that Saborin didn't actually die on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody called an ambulance and they took him to Central Hospital. He was unconscious, but several people accompanied him to the hospital. Three of them were members of the Russian delegation. You know how these guys keep their eyes on visiting VIPs? But there was a fourth guy, and that was...
Tom Stacy.
Yeah, well, how did...
Who else? So?
Well, so according to the casualty ward sisters, Stacy somehow managed to be alone with Saborin when he died a little while later.
And did anyone hear Saborin say anything just before he died?
Yeah, I asked that question, Lee. It appears that some mumbling was heard by the doctor and the sister, but apparently it was a heck of a busy time they were having, and that's how come they weren't with Saborin at the time of death.
Hmm.
He must have gone quicker than they thought he would.
All the same, Johnny, he could have said something, some small, vital thing that made sense to Stacy. To do with Bach. Bach. Come in.
Mr. Masters?
That's right.
Julie Russell, technical department. I brought the stethoscope.
A technical dame? You gotta be kidding.
Oh, you must be Johnny Bridges. I've heard all about you.
You have?
Okay, you two. Let's get over to the museum. We got work to do.
What exactly is it you wish me to examine, Mr. Masters?
Well, you see on your right a row of pedestals down the entire length of the room.
Uh-huh, I see.
On top of each pedestal, with one exception, is a plaster effigy of a composer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to take this machine here and X-ray each one of these heads in turn, starting at this end.
Oh, you're looking for something that might be concealed in the plaster.
That's right, Miss Russell, or may I call you Julie?
Why, sure you may. Off duty, Mr. Bridges.
How'd you like that, Lee? We should never have given them a vote. Suddenly, they're technical.
Okay, Miss Russell. You ready with that thing? Start with the first one. Beethoven, I think.
All right.
Nothing there on the screen, Lee.
All right, next one.
Brahms.
Well, Schubert has nothing in his head either.
Shall I go on to Tchaikovsky, Mr. Masters?
Yeah, I think... Johnny... I've just got an idea.
What is it, Lee?
Miss Russell, you just continue doing that all along the line. Johnny and I'll go on ahead.
Okay.
Johnny, let's walk along, and as we go, call out the names of these composers in order.
Right, Lee. The first one is Mozart. Then Rachmaninoff. That was Chopin. Only three more left, Lee.
Carry on.
Sibelius. Last but one is Rimsky-Korsakov. And the last one is...
Bach.
See, that's right. How come there are two of these Bach guys?
There had to be. Now, Johnny, look at the name again. The whole name.
Bach CPE. What does that mean?
Carl Philipp Emanuel, son of Johann Sebastian.
I get it.
Miss Russell, would you bring the machine down here, please?
I come in with magic.
So this guy, whoever it was, picked the wrong Bach.
Yeah, quite naturally. He went to the first sculpture of Bach he would have seen as he came into the room. When he found it was empty, I guess there was no time for him to look further. He must have scrammed out of here fast.
Stacy?
Looks like it. Who else?
Okay, Mr. Masters?
I think we can save some time here, Miss Russell. Switch the inspectoscope on this last bust. Now, this time, you should get an interesting picture on the screen.
Okay. Here we go.
Hey, there it is, Lee. There it is!
There's quite a pile of documents there, Johnny.
Yeah, and all that from one tiny microfilm.
Are you through reading it?
Just about.
Well, give me the general lowdown on what it says, will you?
Sure. There's a lot of detail. It's not military information, but it's sure interesting to the United States political boys. Briefly, it's an expose on the private lives of some of the most important Soviet leaders. Yeah, sure dishes the dirt. Huh. These commissars and marshals have a high old time in their off-duty hours. It seems like most of them are more off-duty than on. Gee, there's enough material here to keep a blackmailer in comfort for a lifetime. Happy days at the Kremlin.
Well, that figures.
Yeah, so much for the microfilm. But how you worked out the leads, I'm not at all sure.
Well, I want you to imagine an old man, an eminent Russian musician.
Soborin?
Exactly. Now, here was an old man who had dedicated his life to music and to communism, but who, as the years went by, became disillusioned and grew to despise his country's regime. So much so that he decides to do something about it. Well, he must have done that over a period of several years. Then one day he sees the opportunity of putting this information to use, and at the same time saying goodbye to Russia for the rest of his life. He planned to defect, Johnny, and bring this evidence with him.
And the opportunity came with his cultural visit.
That's it. The only way he could get the information out was by means of an ingenious stratagem. Those busts were all commissioned by him and were molded in Moscow, perhaps under his supervision. He took the chance of dropping the microfilm containing this vital knowledge into the liquid mold of one of these busts, the cast of C.P.E. Bach. So he came here to the States, but he was surrounded by his own people, you know, the KGB boys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't have a ghost of a chance to see the proper authorities here, let alone approach them.
He must have been a very frightened old guy, huh?
Yeah, that was probably what killed him. Now we come to Tom Stacy. We found out that he was the last person to see Soborin alive at the hospital. We can only conjecture as to what Soborin's last few words were. But they were obviously enough to give Stacy the idea that here was something that had to be recovered.
Well, what do you mean recovered? What made Stacy get involved?
Tom Stacy, Johnny, has been under suspicion of having slight communist leanings. He's been watched, but until now, clean. Soborin, thinking that Stacy must be a true blue American citizen, told him with his last breath where the microfilm was hidden. He died in the belief that Stacy would deliver the material to the proper authorities. He thought Stacy was his friend. The one kind of man Soborin wanted to avoid was there with him when he died.
I never heard of such horrible luck in my life.
Well, you're young yet, Johnny. You'll learn.
Yeah, I know. It's wonderful what a little culture can do.
Have been listening to The Sounds of Darkness. Join the world of Lee Masters, the blind detective, next Tuesday and every Tuesday night in The Sounds of Darkness. The Sounds of Darkness is produced by Henny van Veek.